We should stop right now and watch 90210.
Fuck that.
But it's on right now.
Why?
Because you're getting sync money.
Oh, we're on it tonight.
Because you're getting sync money, my friend.
Yeah, let's do this. Just say, Donna, don't. Just play like, just all right. Say, you say it.
Donna, don't.
I am the only one. That's how it's going
to
sound.
That's what's going to happen.
That's it.
So I don't have to go. I've got a DVR, so I don't have to go home and watch it. I'm not going
to
find out what happens, whether the innocent girl really isn't innocent. Everybody thinks you've had way too much luck early on.
Okay.
Which we know.
Here's what the scoop is. We've been a band for 5 years. We've been tuning since I was a junior in high school. And touring nonstop ever since.
Know what the question was gonna be.
Jeremiah joined in 2001, 2002,
and screwed up the band.
And it didn't go well after that. We broke up. I was addicted to amphetamines for a long time. I had four wives living in Outer Banks of Utah. And the truth of the matter is, here we are today. Some people just stumble through life, so I guess.
You can be a buzz band based on one record, but you have been lucky because you've actually sold some friggin' records.
Can I tell you something about the buzz band?
It's kind of rare in and of itself.
Can I tell you something about the buzz band thing?
Yes.
In 2003, we as a band decided together that we were going to purchase 5 to 6 to 7 honeybee costumes. And we were going to play for the next 300... We were going to play for the next 300 to 400 days in these costumes. And let me tell you something. When that happens, you're a buzz band. You're a real buzz band.
Could you do a rim shot at the appropriate moment? Thank you.
I'm here till Thursday.
Now, here is something that you did do really well. Not that you don't do things well.
I feel like you're talking about my Michael Caine interview. My Michael Caine impersonation.
That's for each part, Stu Magic, great. The first, they are wishing. The second, the treat. The third, the prestige.
Go on.
You did a little mini side two of Abbey Road on the first side of this album. Nobody knew that, like me, when we got the single way in advance. I get a white label single, you know, and there's I've Got Friends. And then I get to the album. But what's interesting is that it's put together in such a way that when you actually do listen to the single tracks, it all works. So you must have spent a lot of time thinking about that, because you obviously wanted it to be an album side, at least those six songs. You wanted people to listen to it as a piece.
Yeah.
So tell me what you did to figure out how it all worked, because I was in the car and I've listened to it as a whole thing multiple times, but then I did my little test just to see how it worked as single tracks, and every damn single track starts somewhere.
Here's what happened. Having the genius behind it all, our main man, Steve Hrabowski, who signed us to this label, sitting next to me, he can bear witness. We wrote a song a day for 10 days, and then we had every song except the first one done, and then Steve asked me to write a home run, so I wrote the only one. And that's what started it, and really nothing else changed as far as sequencing on the record.
We're sitting here. Where's the fancy giant tour bus for the big giant buzz band?
And I...
Let's talk rock and roll for a second, shall we, Andy?
And I didn't catch your name.
I go into Dennis the next.
Dennis, it's a question I ask myself every day.
Oh, boy.
Do we have enough time?
I'm used to this. We are.
Where is it?
You're only making money.
Did they have a bus?
Yeah, they did.
Ridiculous. And that's what I think about the music industry today.
That's my point.
The end. I think that Modest Mouse, I know that Modest Mouse did a tour in a bus on the Good News album, and that band sold a lot more records than me before Good News came out, and we're fine right here. Next tour! Never again. No, I'm just joking. I mean, like, it would be great. We're playing venues that have terrible dressing rooms, if any, and it's odd to have any privacy. If we got a bus, it would probably be, like, the worst bus in the world. I don't really care. It could as well be an RV or a really crappy, like, home attachment trailer. Just anywhere that I can go to the bathroom by myself. The other day, I almost went to the bathroom in my pants on stage.
Bringing in Mr. Ciccarelli, was that your decision? Did you turn around and say,
I'll tell you who made that decision.
A big mixer engineer guy?
I'll tell you whose decision it was. Steve. brought us a number of producers, and I guess I was the only one meeting with. I met with a bunch of them, and one of the cool things about kind of being the leader with Jeremiah, pretty much running the other parts of the band, you know, all but the music, and kind of like, you know, we both talk about future goals, you know. He's really running the business side, so for us it was like I would go meet with these guys, and they were all incredible. I mean, it was a blessing to meet with all of them. And then with Ciccarelli, the reason we went with them, truly, we were standing at our rehearsal space, and we said, okay, there's me, you, Chris, and Jay Heron, who's our A&R over at Columbia. And he said, you know, well, what do you think will sound, what do you think each one would sound like? And I said, well, I think this would sound like this, and this would sound like this. And we just said, well, we have no, I said, the thing, the reason I want to go with Joe is that he, I have no idea how it's going to sound. The pre-production was incredible. We had a bunch of songs, like we wrote each song in a day, and so we were pretty good until, and when he showed up for pre-production, his ideas on how to cut the songs and how to you know, double apart or do whatever were all, you know, 99% incredible ideas. That was about as far as his producer, that was his producer.
Right.
And then he entered
Mixed
Engineer.
Boy. Right.
And he engineered the living hell out of our record. And it was, you know, we thank God for it now.
And he is an engineer first and foremost.
I mean, he's walking out of the control room, adjusting a mic of an eighth of an inch on my voice.
He had me move the full drum kit on the rug.
We spent 3 days shopping for cymbals.
A foot at a time, and would listen to the room.
What more can you ask for, though? 3 days shopping for cymbals.
A day off. One day he went to New York from Nashville and then got back, and then we started. Like, the man, some nights I would go, Joe, we've been here for 13 hours, can we go? You go, I feel like I just got here. Like, how are you doing this? No, it was incredible.
So I've been playing the record on the air off the vinyl purposely.
I can't tell you how much I need you. We knew that the record Joe was making from very early on was an old school record, and we knew it would sound incredible on vinyl, and we knew that there's no tricks, man. He doesn't do tricks. He does his job, and like does his job excellently. And you know, we would fight and we'd scrap and we'd go at it, but at the end of the day, like, we finished that record and we were all really, really proud of it. All five in the band, and Joe is, and Dan Hannon is, you know, our other production side.
I want to make a deal with you. You see, everybody spends more time writing about the damn band name, right?
I hate that.
So I want to make a deal with you.
Oh.
I wanted to tell you that when I talked to Morrissey, if he thinks it's okay that you do a cover of You're the One for Me, Fatty, will you change the band name in honor of the fact that...
Frankly, Mr. Shankly was the first title of this band. What do you think's better as a band name?
Let me think for a second. Okay, question answered.
Thank you.
There you go.
I had those two options. I was 16 when I came up with it. That's all I'm saying.
We're going to take two of your
songs. I'm bound for the television.
Two of your songs is The Bread, and songs by any other artist in between. And then I am now under, we're now Blood Brothers, I'm under moral obligation to play whatever you tell me to play, because we're doing a full hour on the band.
Okay, just tell me this again. Okay, I would play the Manchester Orchestra song.
Yes.
The Only One.
I like that.
And then I would play
that
the
would
man.
Be a good track to open the album. Have you thought about that yet?
And then the second song. Second song would be Tony the Tiger.